This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to close a feedback conversation in a way that locks in commitment to change. A practical closing method that turns good feedback into real action. In short, after reading this, you will be able to close any feedback conversation with a clear, committed action plan that makes follow-through far more likely. Summarize what was agreed before you end the conversation. Lock in one specific, time-bound action the person commits to. Confirm a follow-up date so accountability stays alive after the room empties. Definition: closing a feedback conversation means ending a structured exchange of feedback with a mutual summary, a specific agreed action, and a confirmed follow-up plan, so that the conversation produces real, measurable change rather than fading goodwill. Let me tell you about a manager I once knew. Sharp, thoughtful. He would spend 30 minutes giving careful, considered feedback to a member of his team. They would nod. He would nod. They would shake hands and go back to their desks. 2 weeks later, nothing had changed. Not because the feedback was wrong. Not because the person did not care. But because the conversation had no ending. It just trailed off, like a sentence that forgets its own point. That is the real problem with most feedback conversations. People put all their energy into the delivery and nothing into the close. They agonize over how to say the hard thing, then let the whole exchange dissolve into a vague "let's see how it goes." If you want to close a feedback conversation in a way that actually produces change, you need a clear process for the last 5 minutes, not just the first 20. In this guide, you will get a practical, step-by-step method for closing feedback conversations that locks in commitment and makes follow-through far more likely. If you're still building your foundation in feedback delivery, why effective feedback is the backbone of workplace growth is a strong place to start before you come back here. Why closing a feedback conversation well is harder than it looks. Knowing that a strong close matters and actually delivering one are two very different things. Most people sense that the ending of a feedback conversation is important, but in the moment, they rush it. Here is why. The emotional drain of the conversation itself. By the time you have delivered difficult feedback and navigated the response, you're tired. The instinct is to wrap up quickly and get some distance. That instinct costs you everything you just worked for. Fear of reopening the tension. A crisp close feels risky. What if summarizing the conversation triggers another disagreement? So instead, people trail off softly, hoping the goodwill carries the day. It really does. No clear structure for the ending. Most people have a rough script for how to open feedback. Almost no one has a script for how to close it. Without a structure, the close becomes improvised and vague. Confusing emotional resolution with practical commitment. Just because the person seems to feel better by the end does not mean they've committed to anything specific. Warmth is not a plan. Forgetting that the other person needs an anchor. Change requires a concrete next step. Without one, the person leaving the conversation has good intentions and no direction. Good intentions dissolve by Thursday. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin the closing sequence, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, the feedback itself was specific. If your feedback was vague, or close will be vague. A strong close depends on a strong conversation. The SBI method, which I cover in Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time, gives you the structure to deliver feedback grounded in situation, behavior, and impact. If you have not yet used a method like SBI to ground your feedback in observable specifics, read how to use the SBI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides before returning here. Number two, the person has had a genuine chance to respond. A close is only meaningful if the other person feels heard. If they're still carrying unspoken objections into the ending, no commitment will stick. Make sure the two-way dialogue has actually happened before you move toward an agreement. Number three, you know what outcome you are aiming for. Before any feedback conversation, you need a desired outcome specific, realistic, and actionable. If you have not defined what change looks like, you cannot close the loop. A useful pre-conversation check is the clarity checklist I describe in Chapter 2 of Say It Right Every Time. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Signal that you are moving toward the close. This step tells the other person, without words, that the conversation is entering its final phase. A conversation without a clear signal that it has end intends to meander. People circle back to points already made, rope and settled ground, or simply feel unsure whether they can leave. Your job here is to create a clear transition from the main body of the conversation to the closing sequence. This is not abrupt. It is generous. It lets the other person prepare mentally for what comes next. Do this with a short, direct statement. Not a summary yet, just a signal. Say something like, I think we have covered the important ground. I want to make sure we finish in a useful place. Pause for 2 full seconds after the signal. Let it land. Check whether the other person has anything left they need to say. Before we move to next steps, is there anything you want to add? If they raise a new point, hear it briefly, then return. Good, I'm glad you said that. Let's factor that in as we agree on next steps. Do not let the signal become another full conversation. Its only job is to mark the transition. Example, you've spent 20 minutes giving a direct report feedback on how they managed a difficult client call. The conversation has been honest, but warm. You say, I think we have covered the main points. I want to end this in a way that's useful for both of us. Anything you want to add before we talk about where we go from here? They shake their head. You have the floor. Once the signal is clear, the other person is with you. Now you can begin to close. Step 2. Summarize what was discussed. A summary is not a repetition. It is a distillation, the key point or two that the entire conversation was about. Many people skip this step because they assume both parties remember what was said. They are wrong. Under stress, people selectively hear what confirms their existing view. A spoken summary re-anchors both people to the same reality before you move to action. It also gives the other person a chance to correct any misunderstanding before you build a commitment on top of it. Keep the summary short, 2 to 4 sentences at most. You are not recapping the whole conversation. You are naming the core issue and the core intention. Start with the behavior or situation that prompted the conversation. What we talked about today was the impact of leaving client questions unanswered in your presentations. Name the impact that was discussed. The effect has been that our clients feel unprepared, and it reflects on the whole team. Acknowledge any key points the other person made. You mentioned you have been under pressure with the workload, and I hear that. Keep your tone warm. This is a shared view, not a verdict. Invite a brief confirmation. Does that capture what we talked about? That confirmation is not a formality. It is the handshake before the real work begins. If they say no, hear them out. If they say yes, you move forward on solid ground. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books they write every time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Ask them to name the action. This is the most important step in the whole closing sequence. Let me tell you why. When you tell someone what to do, they comply or they resist. When they choose their own action, they own it. The commitment that comes from self-selection is 10 times stronger than the commitment that comes from instruction. Your job here is not to hand them a to-do list. It is to ask a question that prompts them to name one clear, specific thing they will do differently. The GROW method, which I outline in Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time, frames this beautifully. After establishing the goal and the reality, you ask the person to generate their own options and identify their own way forward. That is exactly the posture you want here. Ask the question directly. Based on what we've talked about, what is one specific thing you will do differently? Wait. Do not fill the silence. The silence is doing important work. If they struggle, offer a gentle prompt. What feels most doable as a first step? When they name something, test it for specificity. When will you do that? And how will I know it happened? If their action is still vague, help them sharpen it. So instead of be more prepared, what does that look like on Wednesday's call specifically? Example, your direct report says, I'll try to be better about leaving time for questions. You respond, I like that. Let's make it specific. What would leaving time for questions look like in your next presentation? And how much time are you planning for? They say 10 minutes at the end. You say perfect. That's what we'll look for. That is a commitment. A vague wish just became a real standard. Step 4. Confirm the action out loud. Once they have named the action, you confirm it. spoken aloud by both of you. This step is brief, but do not skip it. Confirming the action out loud does two things. First, it removes any ambiguity about what was agreed. Second, it creates a social contract. Research on commitment and consistency shows that people are significantly more likely to follow through on actions they have stated aloud to another person. You are not manipulating them. You are helping them use the natural psychology of commitment to their own benefit. Restate what they said in their own words where possible. So you have committed to leaving 10 minutes for Q and are at the end of your next presentation. Ask for explicit confirmation. Is that right? If anything is still unclear, sharpen it now. And by next presentation, we mean the one on Thursday with the marketing team. Make a brief note if appropriate, so the agreed action is on record. Keep your tone steady and respectful, not supervisory. You are two adults who have agreed on something together. For teams navigating this process together, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it offers useful context on how individual commitments connect to group health. The action is now real. It exists in the room. The next step is to make sure it stays real once the room empties. Step 5. Set a follow-up date. This is where most managers stumble. They close the conversation beautifully, then leave accountability entirely to chance. A commitment without a review date is a wish. The follow-up date is what makes the close of a feedback conversation different from a pleasant chat. It signals that this conversation was serious, that you noticed, and that you will notice again. That knowledge changes behavior. Not because people fear consequences, but because they know someone cares enough to check. Keep the follow-up simple and specific. One date. One purpose. Name the follow-up before you end the meeting. I'd like to check in after Thursday's presentation. Can we take 10 minutes on Friday morning? Be specific about what you will discuss. We will look at whether the queue and the time worked and what you noticed. Get their agreement. Does Friday at 9 work for you? Put it in both calendars if you use a shared system. Reassure them that the follow-up is supportive, not surveillance. I want to hear how it went, not audit it. Example, you say, let's plan to catch up briefly on Friday morning. Not a full debrief, just 5 or 10 minutes. I want to hear how Thursday went from your perspective. They agree. You add it to both calendars before you leave the room. That 5-minute Friday meeting is worth more than any amount of well-crafted feedback. It closes the loop and opens the next one. You can also find useful closing principles in how to close a difficult team conversation in a way that locks in synergy gains. Step 6. End with genuine acknowledgement. The last thing someone hears in a feedback conversation is what they carry out the door. I have seen skilled communicators get 9 things right and then rush the ending. A flat okay, thanks after a difficult, emotionally demanding exchange leaves the other person feeling processed. What they need and what they deserve is a moment of genuine acknowledgement before they go, not flattery, not reassurance that everything is fine. A direct, human recognition that this conversation took something from them and that you respect them for it. In Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time, I note that the phrase thank you for telling me that is one of the most powerful in the English language. The same principle applies in reverse. At the close of feedback you have given, acknowledge the other person's willingness to receive it. Be direct and specific. I want to say that I appreciate you engaging with this honestly. Name something real you observed. You asked good questions. That tells me you care about getting better. Do not overdo it. 1 or 2 sentences is enough. Avoid hollow phrases. Great chat or good talk signal that you are going through a process, not having a real exchange. End with your eyes on theirs. Not your phone. Not the door. Them. That moment costs you nothing and changes everything about how the other person walks away. The relationship you protect here is the one that makes the next feedback conversation possible. Step 7. Document the agreement within 24 hours. Memory is unreliable, especially after an emotionally charged exchange. A brief written record of what was agreed, sent to the other person within 24 hours, does something the conversation alone cannot. It makes the commitment visible, portable, and reviewable. This is not a formal performance document unless your organization requires one. It is a short note that restates the agreed action and the follow-up date. 2 sentences is enough. Send a brief written summary by email or your team's communication platform. Following our conversation today, you committed to leaving 10 minutes for Q and are in Thursday's presentation. I will check in with you on Friday morning. Keep the tone warm, not bureaucratic. This is a reminder, not a report. Copy no one else unless there is a formal process that requires it. If documentation is a standard practice in your organization, align with it rather than creating a separate record. File your own note somewhere you can find it before the follow-up meeting. This step also supports you. When you arrive at the follow-up, you both have the same reference point. There is no argument about what was agreed, no selective memory, no slow drift back to old behavior. The written record holds the line. You can find a broader framework for turning feedback into lasting change and turning feedback into actionable change. The commitment is now real, shared, documented, and reviewed. That is a closed feedback conversation. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote feedback conversations carry extra risk at the close. The absence of physical presence makes it easy for both parties to disengage the moment the call ends, ending the call prematurely. Video calls have a natural awkwardness in the last 60 seconds. People hover over the leave meeting button before the close is complete. Add an explicit verbal signal that you are entering the closing phase. Before we wrap up, I want to make sure we leave with something concrete. That phrase holds the room a little longer. The follow-up date needs a calendar invite, not a verbal mention. In a physical office, you might confirm a follow-up date and trust that it'll happen. Remote teams need the invite to appear in both calendars before the call ends. Send it in real time while you're still on the call. I'm sending the Friday invite now. Can you accept it before we finish? Written confirmation carries more weight in remote settings. When there is no physical presence to anchor the conversation, a brief written summary, sent within the hour, not 24 hours, reduces the risk that the agreement dissolves once the screen goes dark. Keep it to three sentences: what was discussed, what was agreed, when you will follow up. Emotional acknowledgement requires more deliberate effort online. The warmth that comes from eye contact and physical presence does not travel through a screen automatically. Name it explicitly. I want to say directly that I appreciate you being open about this. That is not easy over a call. Don't assume they felt the warmth. Tell them. The core closing process holds in every setting. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: letting the conversation trail off without a clear summary. Why it happens. The emotional work of the conversation is exhausting, and wrapping up feels like a relief. What to do instead? Use a short signal phrase to mark the transition to the close, then deliver a two-sentence summary before anything else. The mistake: telling the person what action to take instead of asking them why it happens. It feels more efficient to prescribe the solution yourself. What to do instead? Ask what is one specific thing you will do differently, and wait for their answer. Their ownership of the action is more valuable than your efficiency. The mistake: setting a vague follow-up, such as "let's touch base soon." Why it happens? Naming a specific date feels presumptuous or overformal. What to do instead? Name a specific date and time before the conversation ends. Put it in both calendars. Soon is not a date. The mistake: skipping the final acknowledgement because the conversation felt difficult. Why it happens? When a conversation has been tense, the instinct is to end it, not extend it. What to do instead? Use one or two direct, genuine sentences to acknowledge the other person's willingness to engage. The tougher the conversation, the more this moment matters. The mistake: confusing emotional resolution with practical commitment. Why it happens? When someone seems to feel better by the end, it is easy to assume they have committed to change. What to do instead? Warmth does not equal a plan. Always confirm a specific action before you close, regardless of how positive the mood feels. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin, and after each cycle. I have delivered specific, behavior-based feedback before moving to the close. I have given the other person a genuine opportunity to respond. I have signaled clearly that the conversation is entering its closing phase. I have summarized the key point of the conversation in 2 to 4 sentences. I have asked the other person to name their own specific action. The agreed action is specific, not vague. It names a behavior, a situation, and ideally a date. I have confirmed the action out loud and received explicit agreement. I have set a specific follow-up date and added it to both our calendars. I have ended with a genuine, direct acknowledgement of the other person's engagement. I have sent a brief written summary of their agreed action within 24 hours. I have a note of what was agreed, so I'm prepared for the follow-up meeting. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a practical sequence for the part of feedback conversations that most people leave to chance. The clause is where feedback becomes change, and you have the tools to make it deliberate. Signal the transition to the clause with a clear, short phrase. Summarize the conversation in 2 to 4 sentences and invite confirmation. Ask the other person to name their own action. Their ownership is the commitment. Confirm the action out loud, in their words, so both parties share the same agreement. Set a specific follow-up date before the conversation ends and put it in the calendar. End with a direct, genuine acknowledgement. It is the last thing they carry out the door. Document the agreement within 24 hours to anchor the commitment in writing. If you want to build the full arc of a feedback conversation, not just the close, how to use the empathy bridge before delivering critical feedback gives you the opening structure, sets up a strong close. For team-level feedback contexts, how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan extends this approach into a full development framework. The full system for delivering feedback well, receiving it well, and closing it in a way that produces growth is something I cover thoroughly and say it right every time. The feedback was never the problem. The endings were. Fix the ending, and you close a feedback conversation that actually means something. Frequently asked questions. How do you close a feedback conversation effectively? To close a feedback conversation effectively, summarize what was discussed, agree on 1 or 2 specific actions, set a clear follow-up date, and end on a note of genuine respect. Vague endings produce vague results. Specificity at the close is what separates a real commitment from a polite nod. What should you say at the end of a feedback conversation? End with a clear summary of what was agreed, not a general wish for improvement. Use a statement like, "So we have agreed that you will do X by Friday. I will check in with you then." Name the action, the person responsible, and the date. That is a closing, not just a goodbye. Why do feedback conversations fail to produce change? Most feedback conversations fail because they end without a specific commitment. The feedback itself may be clear, but without an agreed action and a follow-up date, the person receiving it has no real anchor for change. The clause of the conversation is where commitment is either locked in or lost. How do you close a feedback conversation without sounding like you are issuing orders? Frame the clause as a shared agreement, not a directive. Ask the person to name the action they will take before you confirm it. When people choose their own next step, they own it. Your role at the close is to make the commitment specific and to confirm the follow-up date together. What is a good follow-up process after a feedback conversation? A good follow-up process involves checking in at the agreed date, acknowledging any progress you have observed, and addressing any drift early. Keep the follow-up brief and specific. Reference the exact action that was agreed in the closing. This consistency builds trust and shows that your feedback was meant seriously. How does the core framework apply to closing feedback conversations? The core framework, which I introduce in Chapter 2 Say It Right Every Time, builds toward closure through clarity, openness, respect, and empathy. The clause of a feedback conversation is where all four pillars converge. You clarify the agreed actions, stay open to final concerns, show respect through specificity, and end with genuine warmth. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.